Okay, we're at the bottom, page 1100, the last pasuk, at the bottom of the page. Okay, this pasuk we just started, we didn't get too far in it. Zecharim Mei Selam, the pasuk says like this. Remember the days of yore, and last week we were discussing that we need to deal with the past in order to build for the future. But not to harp on the past that God takes care of. We have to deal with the future. But we need from the past to learn number one from our mistakes, or also how we can improve things to do much better. So it says, Zecharim Mei Selam, you should remember the days of your meaning the past generation. Binu Shnei Star V'Dar, understand the years of generation after generation, meaning what the Torah is saying, basically, you need to have proper perspective. Okay? Some people believe the past is not relevant, you know, what our history is. And it's a very interesting thing. Many people, it's very important for the older generation, you know, the ones that went through Iran or the ones that went through the Holocaust, that they should convey the past to the future generations. You know, I know the Rebbe always emphasizes that people should write books about what they lived through in the Holocaust or in the Soviet Union or in Middle East, wherever it was, because the next generation needs to know the history of the Jewish people. And nowadays, the kids are not interested what happened with the grandparents. Years ago, the grandparents used to sit and talk to the grandkids and tell them their stories. Today it's not done. But the Torah says, Zechar Yimei Selam, you need to remember those past years. Binu Shneiz Derd V'Derd, understand the years of generation to generation. Meaning, what Moshe Rabbeinu is saying, you need to learn from people that have experience. And that's one of the things, according to Torah, in America, they say that it's only the youth, they're not interested in the older generation. But life experience is in the older generation. Oh, you just quadrupled the woman's population. Now, it means that the older people have life experience, you know, that they, even you have this in the doctors. You have doctors come straight out of medical school. They know all the new things, but they don't come close to older doctors that have experience, and they might not know the latest, the things, but they have life experience, medical experience, which you can't even compare to all the other things. And that's what the Torah says. But this pasuk, 1102 on top. But now the pasuk says an interesting thing, which the Gemara learns out a lot of laws about this. Sha'al avich v'yagetcha, ask your father, and who will relate it to you, skeinecha v'yemnu lach. And your elders, they will tell you. So Rashi says, who is Avicha and the elders? So Rashi says, Avicha are the Nevi'im, the prophets. Skeinecha are the scholars. The Yemrloch, what are they going to tell you? They're going to tell you the past history of the Jewish people, which is very important to learn, like we just said. But the Gemara learns out another thing from this pasuk. We know that there are seven rabbinic mitzvahs. And when we fulfill the seven rabbinic mitzvahs, we make a bracha. Right? Like Megillah, Chanukah, Shabbos candles, washing for bread on the Tilas Yadayim, Hallel. I mean, all those seven rabbinic mitzvahs, we always make a bracha. Asher kitshanu b'mitzvayse v'tzivanu. Yeah? Shem sanctified us and he commanded us. So the Gemara asks about Chanukah, where in the world did God command us? The rabbis told us to do it. God didn't command us to do it. How can we say a bracha that Shekhetshalim and Mitzvah v'tzivon that Hashem commanded us to do it? So the Gemara answers two answers. One is a negative mitzvah and one is a positive mitzvah. The Gemara says this pasuk, Sha'al avicha v'yakeitcha, ask your father and they will tell you, Zkeinecha v'yemulach. So the Gemara learns out, this pasuk means there's a mitzvah to listen to the chachamim, to listen to the scholars, to the elders. So the fact that the Torah says you have to listen to the elders, so when the chachamim make a mitzvah, You have a biblical mitzvah to listen to what they're telling you to do. Yes, the origin of the mitzvah is rabbinic, but because the Torah says, Sha'al avicha v'yageitcha, you should ask your father, it's a positive mitzvah to listen to them, so you make a bracha. Another pasuk the Gemara says, is a negative pasuk, Le'sasur mikol hadavar ashe yagidu l'cho yamin esmo. Thursday, when you go up to the courts, you should not turn away from anything they tell you right or left. And Rashi says, even if they tell you your right hand is your left hand, you need a pen? Huh?
Maybe, yeah.
Even if they tell you your right hand is your left hand and your left hand is your right hand, you have to listen to them. This is what the Torah says. So again, because the Torah says in two places, you have to listen to the elders, so therefore this becomes a mitzvah within itself. Okay? Now, then it says like this. The Gemara does add another thing from this passage, which is an interesting thing. It says here, ask your father, and he will tell you, Zkeinachon, your grandfather. So that's three generations. There's you, your father, and your grandfather. So the Gemara says, the Gemara uses, there's a pasuk that says, Chuta Meshulosh, a string that's woven three times, Meshulosh, Lo Be'meheira Yinotek, doesn't rip too easily. So the Gemara says, if there's grandfather, father, and child in Torah, like we say in Davening, Lo Yomushu Mipicha in the Volatzin, Mipizaracha, U Mipizera Zaracha Adailim. Right, so the Torah says, it should not leave your mouth, mipicha, from your children's mouth, and your grandchildren's mouth. Okay? So again, from there, the Gemara says, the statement that, and by the way, that refers, here it doesn't say, but in other places it says, that refers to Yaakov Avinu. Because Yaakov Avinu had, we'll see it later, Yaakov Avinu had Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. So Yaakov is the third rope that doesn't get torn. So the Gemara also says, in this pasuk you see the concept that when you have Torah in three generations, Torah is going to last. You have what's called a chazaka, a permanency, and Torah is going to last. Okay. Now, it says like this, Banchel Elyon Goyim, this is speaking now again about the greatness of the Jewish people. Banchel Elyon Goyim, when Hashem gave the nations their inheritance. Elyon refers to Hashem, Goyim are the Goyim. Bahancha, when he gave Nachlo. When Hashem gave inheritance to the Goyim. Bahafridai b'nei Adam, when he separated the children of men, I'll explain in a second. Yatzev gvul yisamim, he set borders for the nations of the people. Lemispa b'nei Yisrael, according to the number of the Yidin. Meaning like this. When the Goyim sinned in the Dor HaFloga, you know, they built this tower to go fight God, and so what did Hashem do? He didn't destroy them, because they were united. By the Mabul they fought, he killed them. By the Dor HaFloga they went to idol worship to go fight the God and take over whatever. But the fact that they were united, Hashem didn't kill them. What did Hashem do? He spread them out into 70 nations. Yeah, 70 languages. That's what it says. Even though today there's hundreds and hundreds of nations, but there's 70 original fundamental nations. So the pasuk here is saying, why did Hashem, Yatzev, look, it says, when Hashem gave the inheritance to the nations, Bafride b'ni Adam, when he separated the people, that was by the Dor HaFloga, he separated them that they didn't understand each other's language, right? So Yatzev Gvul Yisamim, Hashem set the boundaries of those nations, L'misba b'nei Yisrael, based on the number of the Jewish people. How many Jewish people came into Egypt? 70. So because there are 70 nations, 70 Jews, based on that, earlier in history, like 1,000 or so years earlier in history, Hashem set up the 70 nations with the 70 boundaries to correspond with the 70 Jews that came into Egypt. What's interesting to note is who completed number 70? When the Jews came into Egypt, Yocheved. Yeah, Yocheved was born, Rashi says, because Rashi in Chumash, when it says, So Rashi said, but if you figure it out, it's only 69. If you add them together, it's only 69. So Rashi says, this is Yocheved that was born Bein HaChomot. When she came in, when they were coming into the border of Mitzrayim, Yocheved was born, and she made number 70. So it's brought down, the Rebbe spoke about this many times, a Yiddish girl, 1 minute old, made up the number 70. In other words, the completeness of the Jewish people, which is 70, that all the goyim have 70 in it because of the Jews, who made it up? Who complete? Not a scholar, not a Jewish baby girl that was born just coming into Egypt, she completed the number 70. Which shows how important every man, woman, child, baby, infant, newborn, everyone's so important. She completed the number 70. In Kabbalah, Chassidus says, what's the union of 70, Bukhlalik? What do you have, 70? Because we know, like in, by Sfira Sa'imah, right? You have the seven midot, and then each one's composed of seven. Like you have the first week is chesed, you have chesed, sheba chesed, gvur, sheba chesed. So, when you count all 10 spheres, all 7 midot, composed of 10, so you have 70. So that represents in Kedusha, the completeness of 10 times 70, which is each one of the 7 midos composed of 10, of Chochmin, Nesachin, Malchus, and in evil, because the passage says one opposite the next, if there's 70 levels in Kedusha, so there's 70 levels in evil. And that's what the Pasuk's saying. But in other words, the Torah is again emphasizing the greatness of the Jews, okay, is that because they came into Egypt, they were, in other words, what the Mefarshim explained, the 70 Jews were the moral standard for the entire world. Okay? So he says that everything's up to the Yidden. Okay, next. Kichelek Hashem Amoy. This pasuk is a lot to talk about. Kichelek Hashem Amoy. For Hashem's portion is his people. That means we're a part of Hashem. Yaakov Chevel Nachalosei. Yaakov is the rope, or in the English it's translated as the measurement. Chevel actually means a rope. But why does it say measurement? Because in the olden days, they did measurements with rope. Even halacha, when they had to measure to a city, you know, to various different dinim, they used to use a rope. And Gemara says, what type of rope, what material that shouldn't stretch and shrink and, you know, but, so therefore Yaakov, Chevel is actually a rope. Nachlosei of Hashem's inheritance. Okay, so this pasuk says that Hashem's portion is his people, Yaakov is the rope of Hashem's inheritance. Now, this is a very interesting concept, that the Jews are part of Hashem. That's what the Pasuk says. Chelek Hashem, a part of God, is Amay, his nation. The Jews are actually a part of Hashem. What does it mean, the Jews are actually part of Hashem? This refers to the neshama of a Jew. The neshama of a Jew is actually part of God. Like the Pasuk says, Chelek Alaka Mimal, and the neshama is a part of God. And what's important to understand what it means, Yaakov Chevel Nachalosei, Yaakov is the rope of God's inheritance. We need to explain this whole thing of what this pasuk is saying. The uniqueness of a neshama is that it's a part of Hashem. How is it a part of Hashem? So besides the fact that the pasuk says, Banim atam Hashem Elokeichem, you are Hashem's children, and the child is an extension of the parent. Right? The child is, as it says in the Zohar, Kara Davu is the knees of the father, or in Tilim, there's a pasuk, Tachas Avisecha Yuvanecha, the children are in the place of the father. Which means that if we are Hashem's children, the child comes from the father, it's an extension of the father. But some of these concepts we learned already many times, but you have to get the whole picture here, so we're going to say it again. In creation of the world, It says Vayerma Lakim, Vayerma Lakim, Vayerma Lakim. Yeah, basically 9 times Bereishis, the Gemara says also like a Maimer. Okay, 10 times Hashem said Vayomer Alakim. When it comes to creating the neshama of Adam Rishon, it doesn't say Vayomer Alakim Yehi Neshama. Like it says Nasa Adam, let's make man. That's the body. But then the pasuk says Vayipach Ba'ap of Nishmas Chayim. Hashem blew into his nose a neshama of life. Everything was created with speech. Vayomer Elokim, Vayomer Elokim. The neshama, it doesn't say Vayomer Elokim, Yehi Neshama. Okay? By the animals it says, Tetzias Nefesh Chaya. Hashem said, with speech, let there be the soul of animals. But by person, by Adam Rishon, the Torah doesn't say, Yehi Nefesh Chaya. It says, Vayipach Ba, Hashem blew. Now obviously Hashem doesn't speak and Hashem doesn't blow. That's a given, right? But what does it mean, speech and blowing? So briefly, the concept of speech is, before I speak, you don't know what I think. It's hidden from you. If I want to reveal it to you, I speak it. So what is the concept of speaking? Speaking is basically revealing something that was hidden. Okay? So in creation it says, Vayom Elokim Yehi Od, Hashem said, let there be light, meaning Hashem has the power to create light. It wasn't revealed, it was hidden. Vayom Elokim, not that he spoke, Hashem doesn't have a mouth. Vayom Elokim, Hashem revealed the power that he had to create light. Vayehi Od, and light became created. Okay? But in air coming out of your system, there's two ways. There's talking and blowing. Both air are coming out, right? You speak, the hevel from the ear is coming out of your mouth, forming the letters. The difference is, when you speak, as we all know, you can talk and talk and talk and talk and talk and talk and not get tired. When you blow, you feel your, especially when you blow b'koyach, with strength, your whole innards are coming out. You feel that everything is coming out. And therefore, you get very tired. You can't blow for 5-10 minutes straight. You can't. Why? Because it's a much deeper level of air than speeches. Okay? Everything in the world, including the body of a person, was Vayomer Elokim Na'asa Adam. Let us make man. Then Hashem blew into him a neshama of life. But Na'asa Adam refers to the body. So what happens? When it comes to creation, everything came from a very limited, like speech is very limited. The air comes out, you can keep talking because it's very limited. By neshama, it says vayipach v'apav, which means Hashem blew a part of himself into Adam Rishon. And like we say in davening, at the beginning, Elokai neshama shenasata bi tehei rada, and he said, ba'ata nafachta bi, we say in davening, right? Hashem, you blew it into me. That means every Jew has this neshama, which is blown into him from Hashem, meaning it's actually a part of Hashem coming into the Jew, an open, in-depth level of Hashem, not some external speech, but is the essence of Hashem that comes out when a person blows, and this is what the neshama of a Jew is. Okay? So this is what it means, by the way, when it says in the Pasuk, Chelek Hashem Amai, a neshama is a part of God. Like we said, Hashem blew a part of himself into Adam Rishon, into every Jew. And then the Pasuk says, Yaakov Chavon Nachlosi. Yaakov is the rope. Now, why does it say Yaakov? So like we just mentioned, because Yaakov is the third of the Avos, so therefore it's the most powerful rope, is the third. Chut HaMeshulash, Leibem Meheri Yidnotik. Now, this rope, now what does it mean? Yeah, to understand the pasuk, what does it mean with a rope of God's inheritance? Like, what does it mean? It has to mean something. Now, what does a rope do? A rope connects top and bottom. Yeah? This rope, I mean, it's spiritual, not physical, but to use physical language, this rope is what's connecting Hashem and the Jew. Which means this is the lifeline, you know, the pipe, the whatever you want to call it. Even in the body of the pipes to bring the air, the windpipe, the food pipe, all that. This is
conduit.
The conduit, it is, you're right. It's the conduit of the lifeline from Hashem to the Jew. A rope is composed of thin strings. You write thin strands, and then you put it together, it becomes a very powerful rope. This rope, is composed of 613 strands. This rope of Hashem's lifeline between us and Hashem is composed of 613 little ropes. When a Jew keeps Torah and mitzvahs, the lifeline, Yaakov Chavon Nachalasi, we are the rope of Hashem's inheritance. So therefore, the lifeline, Hashem's blowing, you know, there's a direct connection. What happens when a person sins, God forbid? Okay, let's first discuss. What happens if a person does a sin that the punishment is kares? That God kills you. You die young, not nowadays, but Talmud Beis HaMikdash. The argument, Bavli Yerushalmi, whether it was 50 or 60, there's Misa B'dei Shemayim, there's Karis. One says, there's argument, Bavli Yerushalmi. One says, Misa B'dei Shemayim is 50 and Karis is 60. One says, Karis is 50, Misa B'dei Shemayim is 60, whatever. The bottom line is, you die young in the time of the Beis HaMikdash. So, when a person does an Aveda, that the punishment is Karis, okay? So what happens when you do that sin? You cut the rope. You cut the rope, the lifeline is not going to work anymore. So why don't you just die on the spot? So it's explained, because you have what's called in Zaya, kista de chayusa, a little bit of life keeps you going until 50 or 60. Because you have in the reservoir enough to go until 50 or 60, but the reality is the lifeline was cut. That's why a person would die, because they cut the lifeline. Now, what happens if a person does one sin that's not punishable by Karis? Okay? So number one, that rope, the single string that you sinned, that rope gets cut. But you still have the lifeline, because the other 612 are working. But the problem with that is, not only did you cut that one strand, but now the whole rope is weaker. Because like this, the rope had 613, now it has 612, 610, 500, whatever. So the whole rope gets weaker. So when a person sins, they actually cut this lifeline, and this is what the Pasuk says. Because a Jew is a part of Hashem, Hashem is blowing the neshama into us, nobody else has that, and Yaakov is the rope of Hashem's inheritance, so therefore, when we cut the rope, it affects the lifeline between us and Hashem. In fact, in Tanya, the Alter Rebbe explains, why don't people die from Karis today? A lot of people are doing a lot of sins of Karis that they should be getting, Chas V'Shalom, getting killed. The answer is like this. This rope is only when the Jews lift from Kedusha. Years ago in the first Beis HaMikdash, second Beis HaMikdash to a certain extent, the Jews lived from Kedusha. When you live from Kedusha and you cut the rope, so then you die, because your Kedusha lifeline that you're living from is gone. But nowadays, we don't live from Kedusha anyway. We're not living directly from Hashem, directly Himself. So because we're not living from Kedusha, we're living from evil anyway, so you can continue living long, happy, healthy, rich, wealthy, wise, healthy lives. But this is the concept of Yaakov Chavon Nachalasi, which is actually the whole concept of the relationship between Hashem and the Jew. Okay. But it said, by the way, it's an interesting thing. It doesn't say, Chelek, Elokim, Amoy. You know, many times it says Elokim. Chelek Hashem Yudke Vavke, meaning the Jew is actually a part of Yudke Vavke of Hashem, not Elokim, which is concealment. It's the essential name of Hashem that a Jew is connected to.
Obviously, the essence of the neshama comes from Ein Sof.
The essence of the neshama is even higher than Yudke Vavke, but the level of the neshama that comes into the body, that is Yudke Vavke. Now that's the, you know, the neshama has five levels, yeah? That's why we light five candles. It's based on, the Gemara says, Medrash says, that the neshama has five names. Nefesh, Ruach, Neshama, Chaya, Yechida. So it's explained, you don't need five names for the same thing. So actually the five names of the neshama represent five different levels of the neshama. Okay? Nefesh is the action. Ruach are the midot. Neshama is the seichel, the intellect. Chaya is the willpower. And yechida is the essence of the neshama. It's called the pintaliyid, nekudat hayadut. The essence, whatever you want to call it, yeah? It's called yechida shema nefesh. Why is it called yechida? Which proves this point, by the way, again. Yechida comes from yachid. Yeah? Yachid is masculine, Yechida is feminine. Hashem is Yachid, the Neshama, which is part of Hashem, the feminine, Neshama is Loshen Nekeva, right? Hashem is the husband, widow, wife, the male and female. So Neshama is called Yechida, the essence of the Neshama, because that's the feminine of Yachid, which is Hashem. So the essence of the Neshama is, like we say, Chelek Hashem Amei, it's a part of Hashem. Now, during the week, it says in Kabbalah that the three levels of the neshama are in the body. Nefesh, Ruach, Neshama. Though by normal people, not by holy tzaddikim, by them it's a whole different story, yeah? By normal people, during the week is Nefesh, Ruach, Neshama in the body. That's why during the week, you have three davenings. Ma'ariv, Shachris, and Mincha. Shachris, Mincha, Ma'ariv. Corresponding with the three levels of the neshama that are in the body. Shabbos, Yom Tov, Rosh Chodesh, which are holier days. Because they're holier, a greater level of the neshama is revealed in the body. Huh? Therefore you have four davenings. Yom Kippur, which is Achas Bashana. Taisus says Achas means Yechida. That's when the essence of the Jew is revealed. That's why we have five tefillahs. And the Ilah, which is the holiest part of Yom Kippur, is a level of Yechida Shebenefesh. That's when, like at the end we say, Shema Yisrael, Baruch Shem, the Jew and Hashem are one. That's because Yom Kippur, the level of Yechida is revealed. Okay? Yud Kevavke has four letters.
Yes.
Okay. That represents the Neshama that comes from Yud Kevavke is Nefesh Ruach Neshama Chaya. Yechida, the essence of the neshama, is the level of anechi. Or when we say a bracha, ata, Hashem, Elokeinu. Anechi, Hashem, Elokecha. Right? So the essence of the neshama, that's even higher than a name, that's the level what's called anechi, the essence of Hashem. Why is that? Well, we're off topic anyway. Why is that? Because a name is not the person. I myself don't need a name. For me, I don't need a name. You want to call me, talk about me, identify me, you know, call me from a group. So my name is basically the way I identify with somebody outside of me. But me, myself, I don't need a name. Any name, that's what the Medrash says, when Hashem met Moshe Rabbeinu, it's the Medrash, even though the part doesn't say that, but the Medrash says, when Moshe Rabbeinu met Hashem at the burning bush, Moshe Rabbeinu said to Hashem, Ve'emeli Mashmoi, what's your name? So in the passage says, Eka, Asher Eka, but the Medrash said, Moshe Rabbeinu said to Hashem, Hashem said to Moshe Rabbeinu, Shmi Ato Reitzeleida, you want to know my name? It depends what I do. the seven names of Hashem that you're not allowed to erase, Hashem, Elokim, Kel, Shaddai, Tzvo, you know, the seven names of Hashem correspond with the seven meters. Like Hashem said to Moshe Rabbeinu, when I do kindness, I'm called Kel. Because it says Chesed, Kel, Kolayim. When I do punishment, I'm called Elokim. Elokim means the judge. When I do Tiferes, glory, I'm called Yud Kevavke. When I fight battles, I'm called Tzvokers. When I do this, I'm called Shindalad Yud. In other words, the midas of Hashem, the seven midas, by the way, why does Hashem have seven non-erasable names? Seven, Zayin, Shemes, Shein, and Nemchokim. The seven names you're not allowed to erase. Because that reflects where Hashem is revealing himself, identifying with the world. When he does chesed to somebody, gvur to something, right? Hashem himself, though, is above a name. That means the way Hashem is by himself, it's above name. That's why you have the four letters of Hashem's name, Yud Kei Vav Kei, the way Hashem is identifying with the world. That's Nefesh Ruach Neshama Chaya. Yechida, that comes from the level of Anechi, Hashem Elokecha, or like we say in a bracha, Baruch Atah, you, no name, Hashem Elokeinu. So, you're right, Chelek Avaya Amai refers to the four, but Yechid is also the essence of Hashem, above, even above name. It's Hashem, Neshama, and that's it. No names, no. It's not identifying. The Neshama doesn't identify with Hashem. A Neshama is a part of Hashem. It's not identifying. It is Chelek Hashem. Chelek Hashem Amid, the Pasuk says. It's a part of Hashem. It's not his identification. Okay, then he says like this. Yimtzo'ehu Be'eretz Midbar. He discovered him, where it means the Jews, in a desert land. Okay? Meaning, like Rashi says, where did Hashem discover the Jews? In the desert. 40 years he put up with them. With all the difficulties, all the complaints and all that, there is still, that's what Rashi says, Shekiblam Teirasei, and they are still good. Uvesehu, and in desolation, Yelel Yeshimin in a howling wilderness. That's where he found the Jews in the desert. You say Vivenu, he encircled him, meaning the Jews. Yevenenehu, he granted him understanding. Yitzrano Ki'ishin Einai, he preserved him like the pupil of his own eye. Meaning, what does it mean Hashem circled them? So Rashi says, in the Midbar, Hashem had the clouds that is, you know, covered, surrounded the Jews, and they had glory and protection, a wisdom of Torah, preserved them from all the dangerous things. The Pasuk says that it was Bamidbar God of Anera, Nochosh, Sod of Akrav. Snakes, scorpions, and burning thing. I mean, it was a dangerous desert. Hashem took the Jews through the desert, and he protected them. Yeah? So that's what Hashem says. I found you, and I, not only that, I preserved you like the pupil of his own eye. That means, what does the Torah call the Jewish people? It's remarkable praise of the Jewish people. We're called the pupil of God's eye. What's the eye? Where you see from, the eye is, you know, one thing with the thing itself. And this is the love, that's what the Pesukim are saying here. The love that Hashem has to the Jewish people. Why did they get that level? Why did they reach that level? Because in the desert and in those places, they were still close to Hashem. They still did what they had to. Hashem took him out of Mitzrayim. There's a pasuk, we say it in Rosh Hashanah Davening. Lechtech acharai b'midbar b'eretz loy zerua. What was the Jews' greatness? Hashem said, go. The Jews went into a desert. Lechtech acharai b'midbar, in a desert, asher loy zerua, which was not planted. They didn't know where they're going to get food. They didn't know how they're going to get anything. The Jews went, That's where Hashem saw the greatness of the Jewish people. And because of that, Hashem became, like by Matan Torah, when the Jews became Bani Matam Hashem Elokeichem, that's when the Jews became one with Hashem. Chelek Hashem Ma'am, it really happened in Matan Torah. And then Hashem guards them like the pupil of his own eye. And then he says like this, Kinesha Yored Kinei, it's like an eagle arousing in its nest, Al Geizel of Yerachif, and it's young, the eagle, you're going? Okay, you're good. We're almost done anyway. An eagle is a unique bird. An eagle, because it's the biggest bird, it flies above all birds. Other birds, it's interesting, Rashi says this in Chumash, all the other birds, when they carry their young with them, keep them underneath them. Because they're afraid of the eagle that will come and snatch, if their kids are on top of them, the eagle that's higher up will come and swoop down and get them. The eagle, nobody flies higher than the eagle. So the eagle's not afraid of anybody. The only thing the eagle's afraid of is the arrows, bows and arrows of the guns of the people. So where does the eagle carry its kids? On top of him. Piggyback ride. And the eagle. But this is, like you said, Hashem watches over the Jewish people like an eagle watches his kid. And there's no bird that actually watches the Mephoshim say their babies more than the eagle does. And that's why Hashem says, I'm going to watch you like an eagle. And Yifreis Kenafav Yikochel, just finish this up. It's like an eagle spreading its wings and taking them. Yisrael al Avrosei, he carried them on his wings, basically. When in English it's called their pinions, whatever. But it means the uniqueness is Hashem's guarding the Jewish people, like an eagle guards the people. Okay, we'll leave it here because next time there's a lot to continue about. Okay.